Well, hi there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani with Jerry Usher, and you, because this is a very popular show. It's usually towards the end of the month. It's our Unscripted. That's where Jerry and I bring absolutely nothing to the table, but you bring everything to the conversation. Anything you want to discuss, now is the time to do it. And we really, what's so nice to see, we really expected a lot of calls today, and a couple calls came in ahead of time. Why, Jerry? Because yesterday we had a show on miracles and angel stories, and folks were left on the line. So we invited them to call back, and we said the least we could do is put you at the front of the line. So Karen in Texas, Linda in Tennessee, Donna in Missouri, Angela in New York, come on, you guys, call back. We want to hear those stories. And Jerry, hello. We missed you yesterday. It was a great show.
Yeah, well, it's good to be back. Thank you so much for holding things down yesterday. And yes, indeed, if you were on yesterday and didn't get on the program, I should say if you were on the line and didn't get on the air, you are welcome to call back. And this is the case with any previous show when we do an unscripted show. If there was an episode with a specific topic, say yesterday or a week ago or a couple months ago, and you didn't get on, you are more than welcome to call in during unscripted and share whatever it is that you wanted to share about that particular topic. But also just anything that's kind of rolling around inside your head, maybe something in your heart right now that you would like to just bring up and talk about. As Debbie said, we are topicless today. We don't bring any topic on unscripted. We just simply leave it up to you, the great Take-Two family, and you always come through for us. In fact, you've already filled up half of the phone lines for today. That's great. We'll get to those in a moment. But that also means there is a phone line open for you on unscripted. What would you like to discuss? 833-288-3986.
Well, I'm going to discuss the first situation that it should be very quick because it's just really a statement and asking folks to please be aware of this movie that's coming out this Friday. It's called Tarot. It's rated PG-13. It's a horror film, but it's only rated PG-13. So parents may feel that this tarot card, whatever movie, is okay for their kids to see. It is not. Adam Bly and I are trying hard to get the word out. Please tell your kids and teenagers, preteens, this is not an appropriate movie. The trailer itself is very disturbing. And just to even dabble in something like this, you're opening up the channels for the demons to come in. And they're trying to get to our kids at a lower and lower age to try and impress upon them that to normalize the things of the demonic. Please, folks, it's coming out this weekend on Friday. The movie's called Tarot, and please do something else this weekend. Tell your preteens or something that you're going to go out, I don't know, for a walk or camping or something, you know, normal. But because Tarot is not, it's not a good movie to see. And unfortunately, Jerry, there's not that many movies in the theaters. And so when kids want something to do, I would just imagine that parents are saying, okay, I'll look at it. It says PG-13. It must be safe. It's not safe anymore.
No, certainly not. Like you said, younger and younger, they're presenting these, trying to find these inroads into the minds and hearts of our young people. So thanks for that heads up about that, Debbie. Appreciate that. Yeah, 833-288-3986 is our phone number to call here at Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. And we are doing unscripted today, meaning you can call, you set the table, you pick the topic. Whatever is going on in your own life, in your family, in your church, on the job, your faith life, your prayer life, your relationship with God, how do you share the faith with other people? We can talk about just about anything that's going on as long as we know about it. You know, if it was a movie or something. I'm not that huge of a movie buff, so I don't go see a lot of them. But it could be something related to culture. Anything that is on your mind or your heart today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
And we have Charles Beery at the controls. He's our fine producer. We've got Matt Gabinski. Everybody loves him. He's the call screener. And Michael McCall on social media. So we are waving to you. Jerry and I are on video today. YouTube, Facebook. Hi, you guys. Put in there the things you want to talk about or comments. We love to hear that, and we love to read them and put them into the discussion. There is open phone lines for you right now on Unscripted. That's an unusual position to be in at at the beginning. Oh, no, there goes the lines. 833-288-3986. I told you Unscripted is very popular. We should actually do. I really think we should do Unscripted once a week. I really do, because everybody loves to like gather up all the information they have or all the comments or questions, and they can wait to like to the end of the week and have an Unscripted. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that,
just
that
saying.
Be,
maybe we should think saying. About it. We're having like a team meeting right in the middle of the show. It that's always right. works out so good. But that's why you guys like Take Two, because, you know, we're just all journeying together. And this is the platform you love. I was just at the Fishers of Men dinner in Washington, D.C. for Guadalupe Radio Network. Jerry, I was one of the speakers. I felt so honored and privileged and humbled to be there with the Little Sisters of the Poor and Archbishop William E. Laurie. I love saying his name because it's William E. William Edward. That's my dad's name, William Edward.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it was amazing because they all, so many people came up to me and said, tell Jerry we're praying for him. We're so excited. He's back in priestly formation, and we love Take Two. We're part of the Lunch Bunch, Jerry. They're part of the Lunch Bunch because they're on the East Coast. And Jerry, it was so nice. I felt like we knew each other for years, which we really have been journeying together for almost 9 years.
Well, we have. We feel that way about you, the Take Two family, and it's always, you know, inspiring and a blessing for us when you express sentiments that you feel the same way. And we really are an on-air family. We're a praying family, and today we are just kind of sitting around in the living room or wherever, maybe outside on the patio or the deck somewhere, and just talking about whatever comes up in your mind or on your heart today at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And by the way, you can also text the letters EWTN to 58177. Just wait for our response, then put in your first name and your brief comment or question. You might get a message or a data rate. Most phones include that, but you never know. Check with your provider on that. You can also post on the show website, take2show.com. Debbie mentioned the social media. You can post your comments on Facebook or YouTube. Mm-hmm. And email is always available at take2@ewtn.com.
I love, and we answer, we read all the emails. We try to answer the emails. Charles Beery helps us out at take2@ewtn.com. Karen from Texas called back. We're so excited. Thank you, Karen. You're going to be first up when we come back from this break. We have full phone lines, Jerry, on our April Unscripted for the final day in April. Wow, this is going to be an exciting conversation because of our Take Two family. So start dialing in. We have like a waiting area, 833-288-3986.
Very good to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you obviously have a lot you want to talk about on Unscripted today. We will get to your calls after I just tell you this really brief announcement. That is, you know, if you have the TuneIn app, you can listen to the EWTN Radio live stream. So many ways to listen to EWTN Radio these days. It's beautiful, too, because you can take it and stream it in your car, in your house, whatever, wherever you like to listen. Just go to TuneIn and search EWTN, and then that is, like I say, another one of the ways you can listen to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and all the EWTN programs.
I have a question for you. Is that your Basilica shirt or is that our Take Two shirt?
It is neither, actually.
Oh, neither. Oh, it looks like the Take Two shirt, I thought. Do you ever wear the Take Two polo shirt?
I do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do they say when you wear it around campus?
Oh, they like it. Yeah, they comment on it. Looks very nice, yeah.
Oh, nice. Very nice. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yesterday, Jerry, we had a fabulous discussion, and everybody was sharing stories about angel encounters or miracle stories. And so many folks, we had about four or five left on the line when the show ended. I wish we had 2 hours, but we didn't. We had to make room for Dr. Ray. And so Karen called back and from Texas, and she is first up on the EWTN app. Karen, thank you so much for calling back. Please share your story.
Hi, I'm Karen, and I wanted to tell you, yesterday was about miracles, and I've been praying for a miracle for my sister-in-law's best friend. They just came down yesterday to visit us for a week, and I've been praying for her all the time. Her friend, Tony, has had back issues for 20 years. The last 10 years, it's gotten worse. This last year, she's been in the hospital now. Medication is not working. They had to go back in after putting a rod in her spine, go back in. There was so much infection and do that. Nothing has happened. She's been in terrible pain for like 8 or 10 weeks. And I just want a miracle for her.
Wow. Do you want to comment first, Jerry?
Well, this is a very tough situation. I mean, that sounds like horrible pain. Anything having to do with the back, can be really, really tough because it's very often very debilitating. 20 years of doing this, and like you said now, Karen, it looks like a lot of the things that, you know, medicine has tried just isn't really working. So we definitely do. Sounds like we do need to really storm heaven and ask God to intervene in a miraculous way here.
Absolutely. And Karen, I just wanted to comment. So may I ask if I can, what prayer practices are you relying on for this big miracle that you need for this person?
Well, what I've been doing, and my husband too, we're not too close where we live, isn't it? Kind of in the country, and we're not too close to Catholic Church, but we try to go several times during the week to Mass. The Mass is for her. My Holy Communion's for her. Good. We say the Rosary for her. Mm-hmm. We just, at night, I pray for her, and she's on a prayer chain. My sister-in-law is here now, and she said, yes, but she's on a prayer chain. So
And what is she doing? What is she doing for herself in prayer? Do you know?
Do you know what Tony's doing, Susan?
Yeah. She's praying? Okay.
Yeah, she prays while she's laying there, but she said she's in horrible pain.
She's in horrible pain. Okay. So here's what you want to try to do, because it's very effective. Either your sister-in-law or you or all together, add some fasting, and it doesn't have to be fasting from food. That is kind of a mistake that people always think, and they're like, well, I'm already restricting my diet. I can't go any more than that. I'll be dizzy. I can't make it through the day. It doesn't have to be from food, but pull back on something that of luxury or something that you normally do. Pull back and offer it for her and this miracle. And then also ask some of the very powerful saints, Saint Charbel, Saint Padre Pio, Saint Therese. You've got a lot of saints that are very active. Blessed Carlo Acutis, very active. You got all the saints are very active, but some seem to be showing up more on the scene for various things. And also go to her guardian angel and ask your guardian angel to go to her guardian angel to relieve some of the pain so she can get through it. But add those in addition to what you're doing, and see if you get some forward movement. Okay.
We certainly will.
Okay.
All right. Okay, cool. Be assured, Karen, the Take Two family around the world will be praying for this intention as well. So keep us posted. We'd love to hear progress and, God willing, a praise report on this on a future broadcast, or email us anytime. Karen, thank you so much for the call. Michael is in Bowling Green, Ohio. Also was, I believe, on the line yesterday. Didn't quite have time for you, Michael, yesterday, but welcome today to our unscripted show. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Jerry. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. Hi, Debbie. Father Mark says hi.
Oh, hi. Oh, hi, you guys. I'm so glad you're calling in. Yes. Yes, Michael, go right ahead.
Okay. So yesterday you were talking about miracles, and I wanted to relate a miracle that happened when Father Mark was in the room. In 2004, my wife, Robin, suffered a hemorrhagic bleed over the speech areas in the left side of her brain, which left her speech pretty majorly affected to where you could listen to her and know that there was something wrong. So jump forward to 2017. I'm the leader of a parish retreat, and Robin wanted to be on team. So she wanted to give a talk on the importance of Eucharist in her life. So we wrote out the talk so that she could read it. And in her wheelchair, we built a stage so she could get up on it and talk. All right, so that's the basic setting. One third of the way into her talk, her voice changed. Mm. And the voice changed to her voice before 2004.
Wow.
As if there was not a stroke at all.
Wow.
Now, this just wasn't me seeing this. Now, Father Buck had never met her before she had her strokes, and he didn't really know what was going on. But my daughter and her husband were in the room. Many people of the parish who had known Robin for many years were there. We all looked at each other, and our jaws just dropped. So Robin said afterwards that she knew what was happening. She felt this warmth going over her as it was happening. She was able to continue her talk. And she had been the RCIA director when she had this accident. And so she knew what she was speaking about, but she felt her voice change. And then about 15 minutes after, when we were taking a break and then getting ready, her voice flipped back to what it was. There was a speech pathologist attending. She asked me the anatomical parts of the brain that had been affected, and I told her, and she said she heard the voice change where the stroke was. It should not have happened. So that's kind of become the St. Al's Retreat Robin miracle. We were so thankful that we were able to hear her beautiful voice again, and that we were able to hear it in an unaffected way, because from in 2004 to like 2006, she could not speak at all. But then as she was able to get her voice back, it was very, very much affected. So miracles do happen. They happen at very different places, and sometimes they're witnessed by a lot of people when they happen, and it's just something that we, I guess, are thankful for that moment. And many people in the room didn't really catch the enormity of it because they either didn't know my wife or hadn't known that, you know, about the stroke and all that. But there were about a dozen folk in the room who were very, very knocked out with it. It was wonderful.
I'll bet. Wow. Yeah, you're right. Like you said, Michael, you know, there were a lot of witnesses to this, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's beautiful. God provides these moments not only for, like you said, Robin, and for you and for the people who knew her, but, you know, for other people as well. And you don't know how it's going to impact other people, especially those who knew the background of Robin's situation. And you've got this hope to hang on. If God can do this once, you know, God can do it again, and he can do it permanently, you know, if he so chose to do so. So we will, that'll be at least, you know, I'm sure our prayer, Debbie.
Absolutely. And I'm curious, Michael, real quickly, how did Father Mark Davis respond to this? Because he's a wonderful priest and pastor, and everybody loves him in the Annunciation radio land because he's on radio, has a great radio voice. He's fabulous and a big supporter of Catholic radio. What did he say about all of this? You know, what was his response?
He was more puzzled by the reactions of the people in the room who knew Robin before 2004.
Wow.
See, he was of the group that he knew she had had a stroke, but he never saw her go through the lack of speech and all the therapy to bring back her voice and everything else. Right. But he saw me knocked out. And he saw my daughter and son-in-law, who he married. You know, he saw a lot of people understanding it.
Right.
And unfortunately, because of our confidential rules of the retreat, we do not record any of the talks.
Sure, sure. Wow. So this is all committed to memory and the experience. Wow, Michael. Okay, well, we added Robin, we added you, we added all of you, everybody praying, and this is a pretty amazing situation and development and potential. And, you know, miracles do happen, and there's a reason. They happen for the particular person that they are directed to, but they really happen for everybody around that person as well to experience. That's why I was curious of how Father Mark responded. Wow, Michael, keep us posted. Thank you for sharing. Please give a hug to Father Mark from us. We just love him, and thank you so much for calling in.
Say to Karen real fast. If God can change Robin's voice for 30 minutes, he can certainly help her friend with cancer, and she needs to be hopeful that miracles do happen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen to that. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah.
Yeah. Stay in touch with us. Wow. Powerful story.
Unscripted today. Whatever you want to talk about, 833-288-3986. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and Mike in Philadelphia listening on the EWTN app. Hello, Mike. Thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Hi. Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize that I was actually on the air. Yeah, Father Ripperger. Are you folks familiar with Father Ripperger at all?
We are, yes, absolutely.
Okay, my question to you would be, he seems to be very orthodox to me, and I don't know that much about exorcisms, and everything he says seems to be substantial. It seems to, my spirit just says, yeah, this seems to be right. Mm-hmm. He talks about different hierarchies of demons, council of demons. Have you heard anything about that? Are you familiar with that at all?
Yes. Actually, I work with Adam Bly, religious demonologist, who actually coaches priests on exorcisms and is active in exorcism work each week. He actually teaches at various schools around the world, and he is a church decreed expert in this area. So, of course, we hear a lot of the stories from different exorcists around the world, one of them being Father Chad Ripperger. And he is, you're spot on about his orthodoxy and the fact that he is very strict in a lot of his in interpretations, and he is very urgent about what is happening, that demonic activity is on the rise. And we certainly agree with that, when that's what we're seeing on, and we have the show The Spirit World on Saturdays, Mike, and it's on here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturdays. But as your question that he talks about specifics of the demons, and also he talks about angels, he talks about how we can conduct ourselves, he talks about prayer. He's written many extensive, very deep, very dense books on these topics. What I would suggest, Mike, is to make sure that if you're interested in this and to find out details, proceed slowly and look at it from the perspective of trying to have it enhance your spiritual life, not to give in to any type of fears, or you know, or to be governed by this or even addicted to it, because that's not from Adam Bly, who is a religious demonologist. He said, you know, you don't want to be attached to it so much that you have more of your focus on the demons and less on God. So to stay focused on God and to take this information in that Father Chad Ripperger or other exorcists like Father Carlos Martins or Adam Bly, being a religious demonologist, he's not an exorcist, but he's a religious demonologist, and other people who have written books and studied, they have very good information to put it all into perspective on what we're dealing with and what we're up against, Mike. So in answer to your question, this kind of information has now recently come out on podcasting and all streaming services. We never used to have this kind of information before, but now we do, so it really should help us build our confidence in our faith walk. I hope that helps, Mike, but that's the best I can offer on that, because you know, everybody kind of looks at it a little bit differently, and so I know that Father Chad is doing a fine job trying to get out there and get information to all of us. Okay, Mike, I hope that helps, and you hear the music. We got to let you go on that, and so I hope you have a beautiful and blessed day. But Jerry, Unscripted is very popular on the last day of April.
It is. Vanessa will be next, Ricky after that, and your call at 833-288-3986. Well, we hope you're enjoying this conversation as much as we are. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. It is Unscripted today. Once a month we do this, not only with you, but for you, because, we accept your topic suggestions anytime. We put a lot of them on the show calendar, but every month, right around the end of the month, it is Unscripted, where it's just strictly, you know, whatever you want to bring up. 833 888-298-3986. All right, Vanessa, thanks for holding. First-time caller in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on iHeartRadio. Hi, Vanessa.
Hey, guys. I just have a quick question. I've been doing some research on whether we should be going up to receive a blessing during communion. And there's just been different opinions, thoughts. So wanted to get you guys' opinion on whether we should be doing that, we shouldn't be doing that, and what our church teaches around the blessing mm-hmm. during communion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, I know you're doing a pastoral year at the Basilica, Jerry, so I'm sure you've done a lot of liturgy coordination. I was a liturgy coordinator for many years, so I have definitely something to say about this.
Yeah, well, I would just ask a question, Vanessa. Are you, when you talk about, is this you personally going up to receive a blessing? I mean, are you Catholic? Would you normally receive communion? I'm not trying to pry into your personal life here, but normally as a Catholic, we would go up and receive communion versus getting a blessing. My understanding of anyone who would like a blessing, you just keep your arms, you know, folded, crossed in front of you is typically the indication that you want a blessing and you're not going to be receiving communion at that particular moment. So my understanding is it's not only allowed, but I think it's encouraged, you know, because, you know, especially a priest or a deacon, you know, they have the power to give blessings. And
mm-hmm. Well,
but go ahead, Deb.
Yeah, here's what I learned when I was in working in liturgy and planning and things like that, Vanessa. The problem with the blessing of people coming up to on the communion line and crossing their arms over their chest to receive a blessing instead of actually receiving, or they're unable to receive because they're not Catholic, or they are not in a proper state of grace to receive a communion worthily. This was an addition. This is my understanding, Vanessa. This was an addition to the liturgy in order to make people feel comfortable. But to be really honest, it doesn't actually belong in the liturgy. And I'll tell you why, because the blessing, the final blessing is the blessing that everyone receives. Okay. So when we go up on a communion line to an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, that is a lay person, they are told not to bless that person. They are told to say, you know, God be with you, or God. And so if actually that means, it doesn't really mean that much, because the final blessing is the important blessing. So it really is, I believe, an added gesture for people to feel like they are part of the communion process. But quite honestly, Vanessa, when I'm like, if I've eaten and I don't do the hour fast, and I can't receive, I don't get up and receive a blessing, and especially not from an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. Nothing against having a fellow layperson, you know, say God love you, but it doesn't mean anything. It's not part of the. It's not. Well, I shouldn't say it doesn't mean anything. It's not that. It's not an important movement of the Mass. So I don't know if that helps, but I would be curious. Are you Catholic or you not? If you're not Catholic, I understand why people do it, because they want to feel part of the communion celebration. I understand that. So can you kind of clarify a couple details of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Catholic. I'm practicing Catholic. My parents has fallen away from the church and has not gotten his marriage annulled. And so I always encourage him to go up for the blessing, even though he has, you know, he's with his new lady. And so I just don't want to lead him astray. Like, you know, if we're not respecting the sanctity of communion and diluting it, then I don't want to do that. So that's kind of where my question stems from, to make sure that I'm encouraging him.
Right. Okay. Well, here's what I would suggest then. I agree with Jerry completely. If you're going to do it for that reason and you want to try to encourage him, you know, maybe to move forward and to get his annulment and get in a good place with the church, then have your have them go up to a deacon or a priest, like actually go to that line. I have nothing against lay extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. I was one for 20 years. Okay. So, but it's not it, just to walk up and get a God love you is not really a blessing. It's a gesture of just saying, you know, peace be with you. Okay. But so have them go up to the line with the priest and the deacon to have it be more effective in that case. What do you say, Vanessa?
No, that's awesome. You know, I just want to bring him home and I want to do it in the right way. So that's helpful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Sure. What did you say, Jerry? I hope I didn't disagree with anything you got going on at the
actually,
Basilica.
Actually, I was going to say, I learned from your answer. I really did.
Thanks.
And I actually looked it up on EWTN.com as well.
Was I correct?
Well, it is. Yeah, it is. I think for the reasons that you stated, you know, it is. I think one of the phrases it used is, you know, there was a document that came out that said it's trending. In a negative sort of way, like it would be discouraged, I think, generally mm-hmm. speaking. So,
well, the final blessing is the powerful blessing. I mean, mm-hmm. that's coming at the end of the Mass, and that is the blessing from the priest himself. That is the powerful blessing.
Yeah.
So and it's unfortunate that people leave before that blessing. And so it's very important that people stay and receive that final blessing. So,
yeah
I'm
all right,
pretty,
Vanessa.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
right, thank
Vanessa.
You.
Call us anytime.
So much,
You were a first time caller, but no longer now. You're part of the family.
All right, Ricky has been waiting patiently as well in Washington, D.C., listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Ricky. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have 2 points to make. And the first one is I would like to call out the opponent of the pro-life movement, the pro-abortion, because they misrepresent the position of the Catholic Church and conservatives that we do not allow abortion to save the life of a mother. Now, that phraseology or the way it's stated, of course we don't, but through the principle of double effect, which was taught by St. Thomas Aquinas back in the Middle Ages, and it is the position of the Catholic Church today, abortion happens. I won't go through the four conditions that the double effect is implemented. But practically speaking, the pregnancy is aborted in the process of trying to save the life of the mother. However, this is not said by the opponents of the pro-life movement. They present us as willing to have the mother die to save the fetus. And it is a misrepresentation of our Catholic teaching. And it is not said enough to sway certain voters, because many Catholic voters have this false tolerance, the idea of making abortion available for others who need it, making it safe, legal, and rare. You know, one may not subscribe to it personally, mm-hmm. but having it out there for someone in need. Hence, they start voting for politicians who are now trying to make the right to abortion a federal right. And it is crucial. I mean, for us, it is happening during our watch, in our backyard, and a lot of people are just being so tolerant, whereas they should be rising up in the defense of the unborn. I mean, the slaughter of the innocent by King Herod from the White House is happening now. Mm-hmm. And
well, Ricky, let me jump in just for a second here, because you're raising an absolutely crucial point. You're talking about, you mentioned the principle of double effect, and that is a philosophical principle, a moral principle that does state that, you know, in the attempt to perform some good, there may be an unintended negative consequence of that. And I think, if Debbie, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the example that's often given in terms of the pro-life question is an ectopic pregnancy, where I think that is where the fertilized egg or the embryo attaches to itself. I think what is outside the
Of the womb, yeah.
Yeah, outside of the womb. And therefore, in order to, correct me if I'm wrong here, if this example is not the one that I'm trying to reach for, but the thing is, the Catholic position, Ricky, as you're pointing out, I'm sure you know very, very well, is unambiguous about, you know, life, and that all life must be respected at any cost. And if there is a situation where, you know, to perform, an operation on the mother, and the unintended consequence is the loss of the child, there mm-hmm. are certain instances where the church would say that is morally acceptable. It is not to be sought after. It is never, ever to be the intended consequence of an action to treat or to try and, you know, help save the life of a mother. Debbie, so I may have been all over the map on that, but...
Well, and I just want to cover it from a little different angle. Ectopic pregnancy is when the baby develops outside of the uterus, and so like in a fallopian tube or something like that, and could risk the life of the mother. But Ricky, I need to share something with you, because abortion is abortion, okay? And the church has been very, very clear on abortion, and that when that child is conceived in the womb, that child needs to be protected. And it is a child. And so we know that. We know it's clear. And the church, in its wisdom, knows how to handle different extreme cases. But the media has done a great job at turning this into twisted directions of healthcare and all sorts of things, making it seem like it's just a routine procedure. It is not. It has great effects on not only the baby that is being terminated, but also the mother and the father and future situations and future pregnancies. It goes on and on and on. So the ripple effect is horrible, oftentimes. So Ricky, we have a problem, okay? But here's the problem. It's not just abortion. We have a disregard for life in general, okay? Euthanasia is on the rise, and all these places are now starting to say, let's off the elderly, because they're not productive enough in this world, okay? People with disabilities, let's not give them treatment. People who don't meet the characteristics of weight and height and you know, the gene pool of what they want for the world, let's not give them services. It goes on and on. And next, what's happening, another disregard for life, is the children, okay? Minor attracted persons. That's becoming the new wave of people feeling like it's okay for that. It's not. So we're talking across the board, Ricky. We have a problem with respecting life from the womb to the tomb. The church knows it. The church is trying to go out there and do the best we can with the fine folks that are pro-life, that are going out there really trying to communicate. But unfortunately, Ricky, we're in a world that is extremely loud, and it is getting louder by the second. And so I don't know if there's one way to tackle this from a marketing standpoint, or how to communicate it in public relations, but I can tell you, we have a problem in this world. It's very obvious. So there you go, Ricky. You got me on my soapbox. Any final comments?
Yes, I have a second point, but do you have still time for my second point?
Actually, Ricky, if you don't mind maybe calling on our next unscripted broadcast, we have full phone lines here, and we're coming up on the home stretch of the broadcast for today. So if you wouldn't mind, you know, taking the opportunity to call on our next unscripted show, or if you hear us do a topic that's related to whatever your second point is, do feel free to call us back again anytime. But we appreciate you being with us here on this program today very, very much. We're going to get back to your calls. I want to mention, first of all, that Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo is weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here on EWTN Radio. Teresa and her guests share their Catholic perspective on the day's news and newsmakers. That's Catholic Connection tomorrow morning, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Okay, we're going to go to another first-time caller, James, a first-time caller in Naples, Florida, on Sirius XM 130. Hi, James. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. It's interesting. My comment follow the discussion you just had on abortion. Mm-hmm. And there's no question in my mind that abortion is a terrible sin, an awful thing, should never be an option or a choice. I absolutely agree and always have. But I have a quandary here in Florida. There is an amendment proposed to restore what Roe versus Wade did nationwide here within the state of Florida. And my quandary is this. I truly believe that the government, for example, in Texas, soon here in Florida, Mississippi, these other states that have banned abortion, I think the intrusion of these government officials and these laws into women and doctors' personal situation, to me, that is morally more reprehensible than not banning abortion legally. And I hate it's a quandary for me personally, because I think of it as I do not want to support abortion. I would never dream of supporting it. On the other hand, I know that desperate people that would get abortions legally or otherwise are in worse danger. And I think it's our job as Catholics and as Christians to convey and give alternatives. But I fear that the laws in the draconian way that they're being enforced, and what the former president says about punishing women and arresting women that have had miscarriages and other situations because they're being accused of aborting, I think all of that intrusion by the government into personal matters, I think, is far worse. And so I'm tended to be voting for this amendment. And yet it's a terrible quandary for me, and that's why I was calling. I wanted to hear your thoughts on it.
Well, you went a little bit all around the spectrum there. So let me just share my thoughts as a woman. And I was a mother, and I'm a grandmother, and I understand how the woman's body works and what we're capable of participating in and doing with God's help and creating life. I will tell you, James, that I think a lot of this is spin. A lot of this is going out there. I know that we're hearing a lot of a talk from various candidates and other people, officials, and they're just spouting things. They're not even thinking of what they're saying. I see that happening a lot when I watch TV. It's very frustrating. The one thing that I can tell you as a Catholic Christian, we need to stand with the non-negotiables, and abortion is one of them. We have to fight for life. We have to fight for all life from the womb to the tomb. And you made a perfect comment. You said there's a lot of resources out there. You are spot on. There are a lot of resources for women to get educated very quickly, even women in inner cities and women who may not be able to have access to, you know, this quote unquote, you know, great health care that we have. But James, the resources are there. These pregnancy centers and Christian organizations, they're out there trying to get the word. Most of them are underfunded. They're not getting supported. They're getting squashed by Planned Parenthood. I can go on and on. We have to get behind what we believe as Catholic Christians. We have to really trust God. We have to really go with what the church teaches. And the church is very clear. The Catholic Church is very clear on abortion, and we fight hard, and we let all the noise go around us, but we stay strong and stay faithful to what is true about what we believe, that it is a baby at conception, and that baby must be protected. That baby receives its guardian angel at conception. So think about that for a minute. That guardian angel is already protecting that baby in the womb at conception. We as human beings need to protect that baby. And so I say we do whatever we can to always keep that mindset. Those are my initial thoughts, James, but I'd love to hear what Jerry has to say.
Well, I'm curious, James, your thoughts first. I do have a couple things. What are your thoughts first on what Debbie had to share?
I agree with all of it. I never dispute, never doubted for a moment that these are babies we're talking about. The difference is there is a connection, a medical connection that is unique until a baby is born. And I mean, that's why it's a quandary for me. It's a terrible thing. I don't want abortion, But I don't see abortion ending by passing a law that makes it illegal. I see it going underground and being done in a much worse way, because we will not know about the number. We will not see the people. There will be innocent people that aren't committing an abortion that are in trouble. I mean, I've seen news reports on this. I don't think they're fictitious, where a lady in Texas was arrested and she had a miscarriage. They accused her of an abortion. I mean, all of that is just horrible. There's no doubt. And I agree also with the idea that this is becoming such a pro-death kind of society. Mm-hmm. I just think that coming down with the boom of the state interfering in a doctor and a patient, I just, that is to me more concerning.
Right, right. But wait one second, James. Yeah. Here's the problem. It's a money-making machine. It is. There's so much. The money is flowing so fast in this abortion mill industry, and so honestly, James, maybe you just sparked a thought. I had to jump in. Maybe we should pray for these doctors and these people that are performing these abortions, that they wake up very quickly, because someday they are going to face the Lord and they're going to be accountable for all of that lost life, all of it. And I can assure you that those guardian angels that didn't get to protect that child in this world are going to be super not happy about it as well, that they didn't get to see this person come to their fullness of life in this world and in the next life. So, James, we have a problem. Follow the money, and there's the problem. Jerry, I had to just say that because it's so frustrating for me.
Yeah, James, just real quickly, I'm so grateful for your passion, you know, for the life, you know, for pro-life and defending life, you know, and I just think that, you know, we as Catholic, the Church is very clear that we have an obligation, a moral responsibility to be involved in the political process. A lot of people would say, you know, that's just imposing your religious beliefs. Well, no, truth is truth, and God hands down truth, and we are supposed to do our best, whatever we can, to try and influence laws in the direction of, especially when it comes to life. And, you know, as a seminarian now in the Diocese of Orlando, a few months ago, I went to, as part of a group, seminarians and some others, a lot of people from our diocese went to the state capitol for what they call Catholic Days at the Capitol. And all we did, it was very peaceful. We just got together. We had, you know, some meetings and you know, rallies and so forth. And then we were kind of assigned different, you know, state politicians to go to their offices, any people of any persuasion or cause are allowed to do, and just let them know that, you know, we are encouraging our state politicians to vote in a certain way. So as far as, you know, using the law to try to defend life, I think we have a moral obligation to try to do that. And so, I'm just going to leave it at that, because that's about all I have to say. I can't really add anything else to what Debbie said on that, James. But we'll be praying for you, and I know you're a prayerful man, it sounds like. So let's all be praying that, you know, God will intervene in the hearts of those, you know, those of us who vote, those of us who are elected to office, and those who have a grave, as Debbie said, a very, very huge, a grave moral responsibility. We are all going to answer to God, and, you know, we're going to answer to God depending on how we vote. You know, if we vote in the right way, you know, that'll be in our favor. So, James, thank you for the call. Appreciate
thank
it
you,
so
James.
Much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Powerful calls today.
Yeah.
Where would you like to go for the final call?
Let's go to Grace in Bellevue, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. Hi, Grace. We got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll do my best. It's a pleasure to speak to you both again. Just real quick, I missed yesterday's show. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. I missed yesterday's show on the miracles, but I wanted, when I heard that today, back in 2007, my nephew was getting married like 400 and some miles away from us. I was the one who was always responsible for getting my parents where they needed to go. My father was a very difficult man. God bless him and God rest his soul. I wasn't looking forward to the trip. Luckily, things went non-eventful all the way down there. As I'm pulling off the highway to go to our hotel, I started having trouble with the vehicle. Fast forward a couple of days, because I know we don't have much time. Nobody could figure out what was wrong. My husband, who was here at home, just said, do your best, start out, see what can happen. Stop, check the brakes, so on and so forth. So that Saturday evening after the wedding reception, I prayed to God, just at least get me to Ohio. I'm in Virginia, right? That Sunday morning, planning on leaving early, it was extremely foggy. We had to leave later, same prayer. we stopped a couple times along the way. I had my sister follow. She was not planning on going back. She lived in Bowling Green. We were going to go to Marietta, Ohio. We stopped a couple times, no problem. So as we get into Ohio, we stop at the first exit, and I tell my sister, look, everything's fine. You guys do what you need to do in Marietta. We'll go. I'll take Mom and Dad home. We'll be fine.
Real quick, Grace.
I try to pull away, and the vehicle will not move. Long story short, we get back home through tow truck, tows the whole works. When the service guy called to see what was happening, and I told him, he said, you shouldn't have been able to drive it. From what you're telling me, it was your transmission. He calls me back later, and he said, I don't know how you got to Ohio. You should not have been able to. I said,
Grace,
Dave, let me tell you my prayer.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's a great note to end the show on today, Grace. That's an very uplifting and inspiring account of intervention of God. Thank you so much, Grace, for that. Karen and Lewis and all of the others, we are not going to get to you today. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. Thank you, show team. I'm Jerry. She is Debbie. Have a beautiful and blessed day.